Welcome to the Temporary Insanity Podcast. Here are your hosts, Joshua Lewis Pereira, William McCoy, and C.L. Tanzi.
Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Temporary Insanity. I'm your host, Mr. Joshua Lewis Pereira. I threw that in again this week.
It's a good, powerful name. You guys keep in there every time.
I'm going to try to make it my thing, you know. I threw Aiden's middle name last week. With me in studio today, a.k.a. William's dining room table, is Mr. William McCoy.
We don't get middle names.
No, I don't want full names.
Back in studio, Miss Sierra Tanzi. Hi, Will and Sierra.
Hello.
Hi. I don't even know your middle name.
Good. You have to pay to know. You have to pay well behind it. Looks like the Washington Trust website.
What's actually, the
Washington Post
website. Now that I think about
Bentley?
It.
Bentley? Peckham?
Bro, mind your business.
I asked them.
As you can hear in the background, we do have a fangirl, also known as my sister and William's wife. Rachel is sitting, chowing down on some pizza.
Which is rude.
And fries, I think.
Couldn't even wait.
And blowing up William's spot. I won't say it on the I don't know if anybody heard it, but.
I just said it.
Sierra said it. I'll bill you.
Whoa. Now they know his full name.
Do you know my full name?
If I did, I wouldn't say it out loud without your permission.
Do you know my full name?
Yes, because I hear people call you when they're angry. But don't forget, I've known you since you were a little girl.
Specifically, my Uncle Jeff.
Sierra.
You can say it, I don't care.
Oh, well, see,
it's on my
Instagram. The thing with that,
yeah, in my bio.
The thing with my name is if you Google me because I've been in the public's eye, let's say, for a while. I mean, you look up my name, like my full name is on blast everywhere.
A pedophile that lives like not that many streets over from you with the same exact name?
Well, it's the same first and last name, and therefore I go by Joshua Lewis everywhere I go. But also it's just, you know, Lewis was my grandfather's name, so I pay tribute to him. I never got to meet the man, but I heard he was a pretty awesome guy. So it's always been like in my family, it's kind of been a thing. My mom always went by her three names, EFP, you know. So I've always gone by Joshua Lewis Pereira, man. So like if you look Joshua Pereira in East Providence, you see me pop up on a bunch between our business profiles and stuff. You see Joshua Lewis Pereira. So even if I didn't say my name here in full, you would totally if you Google me, you'll see Joshua Lewis Pereira. So it's all over the place. But maybe if you look up William Peckham McCoy or Sierra Rose Tanzi, I mean you might find something.
My Instagram and Facebook come up.
Yeah. You'll find
But you don't even need to put the rose for that.
Well, in any case, today we're excited to be broadcasting our official, I mean, we have to really play with the numbers on some episodes, but our official 20th episode.
Even though we technically have 2.5 episodes, so and which would make a whole episode.
Those are special episodes. Non-canon episodes.
According to our podcast count, we're on, this is technically episode 23. But
aren't canonical in the timeline.
I labeled those specials. So like last week's was a special episode, and then the Call to Salvation episode was a special episode. So this is official episode 20 because our girl Sierra was very excited about our special broadcast for the Roaring Twenties. Tell us why, Sierra. Tell the people why we were so excited about the Roaring Twenties.
Because we're technically in the Roaring Twenties again. Instead of just the 1920s, it's the 2020s.
Right. I mean, we're in the 20s.
Objectively, yet just as bad.
Yeah. Yeah, some things mirrored in a way, weirdly.
Isn't the stock market crashing again?
Yeah, and they each had their own pandemics to themselves in the early of the 20s, so.
Well, let's dive into the 1920s. So the 1920s was a decade of exciting social changes. I don't know if we'd call that so much exciting social changes today, but I mean, the 1920s was a decade of exciting social changes and profound cultural conflicts. For many Americans, the growth of cities, the rise of consumer culture, the upsurge of mass entertainment, and the so-called revolution in morals and manners represented liberation from the restrictions of the country's Victorian past. Sexual mores, gender roles, hairstyles, and dress all changed profoundly during the 1920s. I mean, I suppose you're right, according to this article. But for many others, the United States seemed to be changing in undesirable ways. Okay, I'm starting to see the correlation here. The result was a thinly veiled cultural civil war in which pluralistic society clashed bitterly over such issues as foreign immigration, evolution, the Ku Klux Klan, prohibition, women's roles, and race. Ouch. I guess you're right, Sierra. We are in a parallel universe where the 20s have come back yet again.
History is definitely starting to repeat.
The 1920s was the first decade to have a nickname, Roaring 20s. Or jazz age. Will, you into that smooth jazz?
I do like the jazz. I'm big into the, you know, the Renaissance era, Harlem Renaissance to be more specific, that blew up in the 20s. So yeah, I'm into it.
It was a decade of prosperity and dissipation and of jazz bands, bootleggers, raccoon coats, bathtub gym, flagpole sitters. I'm sorry. Flagpole, I got to learn how to read, sitters, bootleggers, and marathon dancers. It was in the popular view, the Roaring 20s. I don't know what half of these words mean.
I don't know what a flagpole
sitter. I have to Google some of these. When the younger generation rebelled against traditional taboos while their elders engaged in the orgy of speculation, but the 1920s was also a decade of bitter cultural conflicts, pitting religious liberals against fundamentalists, nativists against immigrants, and rural provincialists against urban cosmopolitans.
Wait, so I'm sorry, was this the 1920s or 2020s? Because now I'm very confused. They sound exactly the same.
So I'm not going to lie. Yeah, this is... I'm confused, Sierra. I think...
All right, hold on. Flagpole sitting was a fad in the mid to late 1920s. The fad was begun by stunt actor and former sailor Alvin Shipwreck Kelly, who sat on a flagpole either on a dare by a friend or as a publicity stunt. Shipwreck's initial 1924 sit lasted 13 hours and 13
minutes. Oh, so they were literally sitting on
flagpoles. They were literally sitting on flagpoles.
Oh, I thought it was like a...
I thought it was kind of a race thing for
cool,
a second.
Cool, like a name for something else, like a slang for something else. They were literally sitting...
Just sitting on flagpoles.
Okay. All right.
Why? Confused.
I don't know why. They don't know why he did it. But look, I think it's probably because they're so high up.
Oh.
He just found out that he had the talent.
Well, someone said that he might have been dared.
Okay, that sounds better. I like that. We'll go with that. That he was dared.
Well,
because
I guess he
it.
Was a magician?
I mean, I guess...
He was a stunt actor. So he was doing a stunt. And everyone just liked it.
It just caught on. Yeah,
I've never heard about that. That's not
was
something they
popular culture
in school about the 1920s.
So I mean, it is kind of funny though. I mean, talk about like that saying, "History repeats itself," right? Like, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, when we started, I mean, we were playing around with it because yeah, we've been playing around with the term like the Roaring 20s because this you know we are in the 20s and we got the you know we have like a. We've had the opportunity to experience, like, a new millennium and, like, starting over, you know, like, being, like, millennium babies, you know, and stuff like that. But, like, going into the 20s, it is a little freaky, right? Like, I mean, it, as we read through, like, what was going on in that decade, I mean, we see a lot of the same things. I mean, talk about like, a parallel timeline. Like,
yeah, a lot of stuff is dressed a little differently, but at the
I was
core
about to say
it,
the same thing. Aside from like the same clothes, right? Yeah. Like
flappers.
I mean, let's go through the checklist here. I mean, you have like fundamentalists against religious liberals. So we see that, like, okay, people of faith. We see that happening today. Well, like even inside the church, where we have like old school traditionalist Christians, like with like new school believers, kind of butting heads a little bit on different things and some things, you know, more extreme than others, right? I mean, immigration, yeah, you got that whole thing going on. I mean, it's just crazy. Let's look at some events that took place back then. So
Great
in the 1920s.
I love talking about the Great Depression.
Well, that's part of it, but I mean, you had a lot of, like, okay, so in the 1920s, the population, the U.S. population was 105,710,620.
It's very specific.
Whew. They had to count the people.
People were dying young back then. In the 1920s, your life expectancy had risen to 54 years of age from 49 years in 1901. Nice. So people, so that's why like Social Security was like a thing, because like they weren't living to as old as we are today for sure. January 2nd, the government agents arrested members of the IWW and Communist Party in 33 cities. 556 aliens are deported for their political beliefs. Okay. We're just rounding them up. Let's see.
That's kind of a lot when you start breaking it down, because it's not like they had as many people as we do now. Let me say there was like less than 2 million people in the United States. So like starting to round up people by like the hundreds and thousands, that's being like a big chunk of like the population at the time.
March 19th, we sent the Senate votes 49-35 to join the League of Nations. So President Wilson instructs his supporters to vote down the League bill with Republican amendments attached. All right. Here you go, Sierra. August 18th, women's suffrage amendment to the U.S. Constitution is ratified. September 28th.
Listen, sometimes I wish I could just be cooking all day.
Yeah, that comes out a lot of other non-rights as well, though.
September 28th, the Chicago grand jury indicts 8 players on the Chicago Black Sox for throwing the 1919 World Series. The players were acquitted but were later banned from baseball. Man, the 20s were kind of messed up on some of this stuff.
The 20s were crazy.
The Tulsa Race Massacre.
Yep.
Happened in 21, I think.
And a lesser known, the Rosewood Massacre. Same MO. It was also, I think that was 1923.
1921. On May 19th of 21, Congress institutes a quota system that limits immigration to 3% of a nationality's number in the 1910 census. November 12th, at the Washington Conference for Limitation of Amendments, conferees agreed to restrict future construction of warships. So apparently we were building too many warships. Now we're not building enough, I guess. More immigration stuff. Let's get something good. In May of 24, the crime of the century. Prodigies Nathan Leopold Jr. and Richard Leab confessed to the kidnapping and killing 13-year-old Bobby Franks for the thrill of it. That's just horrible. Well, they didn't have cable and stuff.
That was definitely big news.
Not a justification.
I mean, I'm just saying. Oh, here you go, Sierra. In November of that same year, 2 states, Wyoming and Texas, elected women governors.
I hate Texas.
Yeah, but they
don't mess with Texas. They elected women governors.
Well, I don't like Texas.
So. At least you can have
not Wyoming. Anymore. Texas doesn't like women anymore.
1925. In July of 1925, at the Monkey trial in Dayton, Tennessee, schoolteacher John Scopes is tried for violating a Tennessee law prohibiting the teaching of evolution. Scopes' defense attorney,
the Monkey trial. That's funny.
Clarence Darrow called prosecuting attorney William Jennings Bryan to the stand and ridiculed Bryan's fundamentalist religious belief. Scopes was found guilty of violating the law and was fined $100. The sentence was later overturned. I wonder how much that was like back then.
I would commit so many crimes if the charge was only $100.
Well, but you got to understand, in the 1920s, $100 was like way more than it is today.
In the 1920s, I actually just read this. I was reading a Great Depression article. $80,000 was $1 million.
How much?
What?
$80,000 in 1929 would have estimated to roughly $1 million today.
Oh, I knew Henry Ford was going to make this list on something. 1926, Henry Ford introduces the 49-hour work week in the auto industry. So, for Henry Ford to introduce a 49-hour work week, I wonder how long the work week was before that. Like,
you know, was it longer or was it shorter? I think that
I'm sure it was longer. I'm sure.
Because they were working like the mines and stuff, like for days. I'm sure.
I'm like, it's like Henry Ford's like, hey, I'm gonna come out and be a hero. Hey guys, 49 hours.
49.
Like,
that's
sweet.
It.
May 1927, 25-year-old Charles Lindenberg flies from Long Island to Paris in the 33 hours and 29 minutes. Yeah, Lindenberg flies from Long Island to Paris in 33 hours and 29 minutes. Now we have, snack and beverage service. Bet you he wishes he had that.
I wonder how many times it took him, because that couldn't be on one shot, obviously.
I don't know.
I always think, back then, when, making things for the first time, how many times you have to fail.
Sometimes I try things that are so gross, and I'm like, people thought this was a good idea. Like, people actually tasted this and said, send it.
I feel like 1920, so many things haven't been invented yet, or so many things haven't been tried. How many people just, died from, little inventions that we take for granted? Especially, vehicles and stuff.
I saw a video yesterday. It's I appreciate the people that decided to try wild berries for the first time.
A lot of people definitely ate the wrong berries.
A lot of people. Apparently, outside my job, there's some customer came in and was like, did you guys know that you had this, really, insert really obscure berry name that I don't remember here? And he was like, you have a tree outside. And he just walked in eating a handful. I was like, this guy's going to die. I went out and tried one, though. Pretty good.
I mean, he's still alive.
It's
so.
He lived on a farm, so I trusted him.
It's crazy though, because it's yeah, I get it. You have to be the first to try stuff to figure, back then it was a time of exploration. You have all these exciting things that happen, you gotta give the guy credit, right? Dude flew from Long Island to Paris. That was a huge thing. Today we make light of it because, all right, you walk into, any airport, you could just buy a ticket to fly wherever you want, right? The 1920s was exciting because it was, this time of, adventure, granted, we still have some adventure now, insert stupidity that we do some stuff now, we have people that have, and this is coming up in a future episode, where people have so much money they're just going to do, dumb things with, let's just, because we can. But, think about how, they traveled back then. Hey, I want to go to Europe. Oh, let me pack, five steam trunks worth of stuff, all my belongings, and hop on a boat. And it takes, 6 months for me to get there, right? For us, he just did something that was impossible.
He just did it.
August 23rd, let's bring it to Massachusetts. Anarchists Nicola Sacco and Bartholomew Vanzetti are executed in Massachusetts for the 1920 killing of a factory guard despite protests that they were being punished for their radical beliefs. They were just handling business in the 20s. They were like, yeah.
Dead.
Just
executing people.
We'll find a reason to just kill
them. Executed them. Left and right. October, she's a witch, burner.
October 6th at Sammy Hagel, Will. The jazz singer, the first talkie premieres, the first words, you ain't heard nothing yet. Hey, that's where that comes from, huh?
1920.
What was his name? Talkie?
The first talkie.
Like jazz the singer, trip? Like the chip?
I get it.
No, not talkie. Talkie.
Like talkie? All right, let's see. 1928, August 27th of 1928. 15 nations signed the Kellogg-Brained Pact, which renounces war. Let's see how well that lasted. As an instrument of national policy, eventually 60 nations ratified that agreement, which lacked any enforcement mechanism. Oh, here you go. February 14th, 1929. St. Valentine's Day Massacre. 14 members of a Chicago gang are shot to death in a Chicago warehouse. On orders from Al Capone.
Chicago's never been good.
No.
Al Capone. I had to take a second. I was like, what? I wasn't expecting such a big name to come out of your mouth.
I'm just saying, Al Capone, man. The only thing he ever got caught on was what? Tax evasion?
Yep. After all that.
After all that. It's the mask of 14 people. They got him for not paying his taxes. So, if you're going to commit crime, make sure you don't cook the books.
All you need to know, if you're going to commit crime, make sure you pay your taxes, too.
Pay Uncle Sam.
Get a good accountant. October 29th of 1929, Black Tuesday, the bull market of the late 1920s, comes to a crashing end between September 3rd and December 1st. Stocks declined $26 billion in value. So, Sierra, you were right. Money was not not doing well.
They almost made it to the 30s, too. Almost.
Almost.
Almost. It would have been a different episode.
There was, so when I was in high school, I think it was my sophomore year, I was in a class. And in this class, we had to, like, pick a phenomenon and do a project on it. And my phenomenon that I picked was the Great Depression, but specifically like Rhode Islanders during the Great Depression. And I did so much research about this one guy that jumped off the 14th floor of the Biltmore Hotel. You learn that the stock market crashed. Wild. A lot of stuff happened to that hotel.
Yeah, that hotel is kind of crazy.
It is. But
I mean, it's bananas because, like, you look at some of the stuff that happened there, you know, financial crisis. And again, it goes back to, like, the craziness of the 1920s, the Roaring Twenties, as we just said. We just read a bunch of things that happened in the 20s of the 19th. Now we're going into the 20s of the 20th.
Yeah.
The 19th off. What?
The 19th.
Well, it's really not the 19th because that was technically the 20th century, wasn't it? So, I mean,
like, what do you call, like, because, like, the second two is, like, a decade. So, like, the 20s would be a decade. So, what's the first two numbers?
I'm going to make my brain hurt.
What's in 1,000? Like, it's decade, century.
Millennium.
Millennium. So, is that what it is? The 19th millennium?
No, it would be the 19th century.
But it wasn't the 19th century.
I don't know. All I know is you see these things happening there, and then now we're only like third year into the 20s here, and what have we seen?
Craziness.
We've seen our stock market collapse and inflate and collapse. We've seen Chicago, oh my goodness. Like you were just saying, oh, you just dropped Al Capone. Chicago, talk about the city of unrest. I mean, we haven't
never
just change one, like, gang for another gang, like, at this point.
Like, talk about, like, you know, just like a couple years ago, and they were like, oh, let's I'm drawing a blank on the term, but they wanted to get rid of the police, right?
When they wanted to get rid of the police,
yeah,
like in 2020 during all the riots,
yeah. I forget what it was called. There was a term for it. I'm literally drawing
like the defundment.
Oh yeah, we want to defund the police, and Chicago's like, yeah, we don't need no police. And then,
because,
like, you see,
we'll,
like,
be the police.
And then it's like, then you see, like, everybody's Ring camera videos where people are like gangs and stuff shooting in the middle of the street.
If
and
people hiding in their houses. The, like,
let's not give Chicago a super bad rap. It's in concentrated areas. It's
if anyone needed the police, it was Chicago.
Bro, I mean, let's be real though.
It's not like, all of Chicago.
Let's defund the police, and then all of a sudden, like it's like. Wait, they're shooting. It was in the nice neighborhoods, like.
But it's funny though,
because
even
because the south side,
in the south
side
of Chicago, the police do their best to not get shot over there. So it's not like they're policed very well, which is smart because you don't want to. Every time you go down there, you're going against people that have rocket launchers for fun in the south side of Chicago.
I watched Shameless, and now I know everything about the south side. Just who I am now.
So it's not like they're, like, policed very hard. Like, please do the best they can down there, but
Kayla's, I mean, gonna come at us.
It's called Chirac for a reason. Like, they call it Chirac for a reason, not because they have deserts, right? That's not what they call it, Chirac. Let's just keep it there. But before them, it was Al Capone shooting dudes in warehouses.
I'm not even just trying to bring shade to that. I'm just saying, like, there's just a lot of craziness, and it's funny because, like, you know, as we talk about, and we're in our 20th episode, technically 23rd episode, but we'll call it our 20th episode so we can have our Roaring 20s time. I mean,
technically we're in the Roaring 20s until the 30s, so it doesn't matter.
And I mean, and let's be honest. I mean, they had their prohibition time and all that stuff, and, like, we kind of had, like, a little prohibition going on with, like, you know, legalizing, like, marijuana and stuff.
I mean, that is true.
I don't know. I thought you were gonna come into the studio today with, like, a newsy hat.
Me, I couldn't find one. I didn't have much time. Also, those things are kind
of. You had like 7 weeks.
I forgot.
You pushed yourself
Will.
So long.
I did. Well, where's the top hat?
Unfortunately, it did not fit my head.
Who's your costume, Will?
What would you like me to dress up from the 1920s?
That's valid, actually. Well,
oh, that was a very...
I could dress up as like a nice valid guy in a Renaissance suit, but my house might get burned down by the KKK, so... Yikes. Don't wanna mess with those people. So, I think I'm good.
Talking about Prohibition, we still, believe it or not, we still have... I found an article, I'll share it on our podcast page, about some Prohibition laws that we still live with. Prohibition is gone, but alcohol policy is still dominated by special interest cronyism. It was written back in 2017. It's getting a little more lax now. So the article is slightly outdated, but like in Rhode Island, we still have bans on supermarket alcohol sales. So like, mm-hmm. In other states, so like in Rhode Island, if you want to buy alcohol, you have to leave the supermarket and go to a liquor store. Unlike a lot of other states where you could just walk over to the other side of the supermarket and buy it in store.
I remember because you can buy alcohol in grocery stores in Virginia. So when we were visiting Justin's parents last time, or like for the first time, we walked into a grocery store and there was literally like an alcohol section. It's like half the store.
And you're like, how convenient.
We're like,
I could do all my shopping in one place.
Get your milk, get your cheese, get your booze.
Get your bottle of wine,
It's convenient.
Technically, there's the government still has monopoly on some of the alcohol control.
Liquor stores are closed on Sundays.
Like
Footloose.
There was a regulation on shipping. However, now we have this thing called like Drizzly and like these other services. Now we if you're too lazy to go to the liquor store.
What is Drizzly?
I'm about to tell you. If you're too lazy to go to the liquor store, you could go online. You could order the alcohol that you want from the liquor store. And it's like Uber Eats or like one of the, or like Grubhub. Like the liquor store will send it to your house like within 30 minutes or less.
You can order liquor from restaurants that sell it on DoorDash.
You can now. That was like a thing that happened during
how
COVID.
Do they do that? Do they, like, that make you, do they like make you scan a picture of your ID when you buy it? Or is it like a trust thing?
Well, no, I'm pretty sure that the car. I mean, I don't need alcohol that much where I need to order it. Like, but it's one of those things where but I'm assuming, if I'm not mistaken, that I think they have to card you when they drop it off.
Probably. I mean, I guess you have to put your age into DoorDash too, but then like people share accounts and everything. Like I share a DoorDash account with my mom.
Yeah, but it's bananas. So I mean, so some of these things during COVID, a lot of things got laxed. But
so what are they gonna do? Just not give it to you? They're gonna bring it back to the store?
Maybe, and then refund it.
I have so many questions.
But that,
you have
I mean,
to get
that
DoorDash
is,
on the phone.
That is interesting because like even talking about like in the grocery stores that you can buy alcohol in, if they see that someone in your party is under 21, they won't sell it to you.
That happened to me when we went to. There's this big grocery store in the Natick Mall called Wegmans, and they sell Natick, Massachusetts. They sell alcohol in the store. I was with my two friends who are like, they were both 23, and they were like, oh, I need to see all three of your IDs.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not 21. It's not for me. And they didn't sell it to them. I'm like, I feel so bad.
Yeah. But then if you order it from the store from Drizzly or whatever, like how are they going to know those?
Yeah, they just,
an under 21-year-old not sitting on the couch waiting for the alcohol to be delivered.
Yeah, because then like they can't trust that this DoorDasher or Drizzly driver or whatever they're called. I think it should be Drizzly driver. I think that's great. But like they can't promise that they're going to bring it back. Like what if they just take it for themselves and say it was dropped off?
I think they'd have to like do a refund.
I don't know. Like but then if they have to bring it to the store, then they can still just take it.
I don't know. I'm glad I'm not the owner
See?
Of the
I'm
Drizzly.
Just saying. We have to
app.
Get these people on the phone.
Call them up.
I have so many questions.
How does this work?
So many questions. Let's try to order alcohol on DoorDash right now and see what happens. Live in studio.
I don't know. There's this other article that I came across as we were talking about these comparisons that made a good point. The 1920s. Was a decade of change, and I see that happening again in the 2020s. And this author quoted Charles Dickens from A Tale of Two Cities, where it says it was the best of times and sometimes the worst of times. I guess we could use the same paraphrase for the decade we're living in today. I mean, I've noticed
times.
A lot of the worst of times more so recently.
Awful times.
But I mean, a lot of big changes happened in the 1920s. it looks like, you know, Americans in the 1920s, because of like the production of like cars and so that, it forced the U.S. to put like new roads in. Women get their right to vote. Louis Armstrong started improvising and adding personal musical variations with his trumpet. So like jazz started to really get like its new flair. Aviation got its real started to take off. Here you go. Well, in 1924, Congress passed a law that made all American Indians citizens of the United States. I don't know if that's a happy happening for you.
I mean, it's a about time kind of thing, it's also an ironic thing. It's like, hey, we came to your land, but we waited till 1920s to make you citizens of the United States.
We know this was your land first, but you're not citizens.
Look, you're not citizens until we say so.
But kind of like Sierra started to say, you know, you had all these like ebbs and flows, and then you know the decade ends in 1929 with like the collapse of the economy where $26 billion in value dropped, like we were starting to talk about.
And we go into the Great
Depression, right? So, yeah. I mean, it was a huge era for change and growth. It was a huge era for learning and exploration. It was a huge era where America really started to kind of shape into like a place of opportunity for different things. The thing that scares me a little bit about the 20s that we sit in now, I mean, if we want to switch roles a little bit into the day we're living in, is the 20s of last century started more with like that ingenuity, right? Like that it started with like that excitement of like, you know, adventure and like, you know, in, you know, inventing things and like, because, and I'm not saying that we haven't gotten that, because we have. I mean, over the past few years we've seen some cool things happening, but like with the ebbs, you know, like with the peaks that you know, with the valleys, like there were a lot of stuff to bring us high, you know, like there were a lot of like positive things. So far, this 20s that we're living in now, I mean, and I could just be getting, you know, short-term memory here, but can you guys think about where we're seeing like our pluses here? I mean, we've had kind of a lot more shortcomings than, you know, I mean, financial markets haven't really peaked. You know, we've had a couple of good instances here or there, but I mean, we're not enjoying the big upswings like they did in the 20s towards the beginning. Granted, hopefully we don't end these 20s like they did,
Yeah, our 20s really hit the ground running with all bad, right? Like, yeah. Immediately, like technically the end of 2019 is when COVID really started, but everyone was kind of like, eh, it's not that big a deal. And then a few months into March, and it was like, hey, COVID, killer wasps. What else happened? Fires, I think. Yeah, that was a thing.
Big fires,
riots. Like, it was just like one thing after the other, not in that order.
Well, but then we had like this fire sale in the housing market for a little while, which looked promising. But then, like, even the housing markets dropped off. I mean, like, so we started these 20s with like a lot of uncertainty. Small businesses have been struggling to do what they got to do. Yeah, okay. People have been dependent on what everyone likes to call the new normal, but it's not really a new normal. I mean, realistically, for something to be new, it's usually within a short period of time. I mean, it's been 3, almost 4 years now, and we're still trying to catch our breath. We see government programs being put out to try to stabilize things. We see interest rates fluctuate in a way that's kind of like, you know, all over the place, especially like when you come into like, people want to buy a house. All right, today your interest rate's 4 or 5%. Tomorrow your interest rate's up at 9, 10%. Mm-hmm. The day after that, your interest rate's at 6 to 7%. You know, one day a house is worth $500,000, $600,000. The next day a house is worth, you know, $400,000. I mean, so it's like, you know, the stock market ebbs and flows like it's going out of style. Like, people don't know what the heck is going on in terms of the financial markets. Then you see, you know, you see the cost of things that you just want to buy. Like, You want to go buy eggs? You know, you got to take out a loan, like buying a car, like right?
$6.
Right. You know, I saw a chart the other day that made me chuckle a little bit because it was showing over the past 30 years, you know, the inflation. And it showed things that went up in cost and things that went down in cost. The things that went down in cost that were cheaper to buy now were like things like cell phones, TVs, you know, mm-hmm. computers, laptops, like all the electronics. So like the nice to have things. And then the things that skyrocketed in cost were the essentials, like eggs, chicken, like, you know, groceries, like, you know,
gas.
Like, so it's funny because when you're looking at this chart, it's like, wait, the things that you need to survive should be in that bottom column. And then like the things that you don't need to survive, like the electronics, should really be on the opposite side of that chart. So, I mean, we find ourselves flipped upside down compared to the 1920s. The 1920s started off like a big party. It ended with, you know, Great Depression. Literally, no pun intended. We just started with the depression. I mean, you know, it's just bananas how this has kind of turned out.
I mean, if you look too, like I think the things that we're doing well are things that are double-edged swords. Because, like, say technology, right? AI is going through the roof. Like that, what people can do with AI is amazing.
So
but
weird.
It's also very weird, and also comes with, you know, deep fakes, and it comes with, you know, now people mess with AIs, and AIs are saying weird things about the human race. It's like, well, this should be something good, right? Because we can't remake the plane the first time again, because it's been done. We can't, you know, make the cell phone again for the first time, but AI is the next new thing, and it's a little weird.
Yeah, there's this person on TikTok who keeps, like, making... like taking a picture of like their whole thing is like true crime kind of, but they're taking a picture, like a really low res picture of a person in a true crime story and making like an AI that speaks and it looks exactly like the person. It's kind of like weird.
Yeah. Like how far do you go?
Cause it's like this person that they made an AI of from a really low res picture. That's telling like the life story of how they murdered someone. I'm like, this is so weird. I hate it.
No. And it's funny. Cause again, you do have a lot of comparisons. There's an article from a blog called Cheapism, right? And it asks, will history repeat itself? You know, the 2020s are well underway. We still see our predictions of everything play out. But like, for instance, in the 1920s, you had the Spanish flu. In the 2020s, you had coronavirus. In the 1920s, you had culture wars. In the 2020s, you had culture wars again. In the 1920s, you had finances, where you had, you know, huge influxes between the 1920 and 1929. In the 2020s, you see the same kind of things happening with stubborn inflation and the war on Ukraine. In the 1920s, you had alcohol prohibition and organized crime. In the 2020s, you have the war on drugs and organized crime.
Some things never change.
In the 1920s, you had cannabis. Marijuana really caught up in the 1920s, particularly among jazz musicians and others in show business. In the 2020s, you have cannabis, you know, and we see the change on policy coming up. And in the 1920s, you had huge income gaps. In the 2020s, we have huge income gaps. In the 1920s, you had technological changes. In the 2020s, you see the same technical, you see another round of huge technological change. You know, in 1920s, you had automation of work. In the 2020s, you see automation of work. You know, people around the world live in fear again of being replaced by technology. And that's what you were just saying, right? I mean, so in the 1920s, you saw that same fear because they were going through this technical, you know, for that time, type of technical revolution. We're going, you know, while making work more routinized is more alienating, mass production also led to the increase in wages, Rhodes says. Henry Ford realized that he had to pay workers a wage that would enable them to do both work and consumers. So, like, as they started to modernize the assembly line and whatnot, you know, people were afraid of losing their jobs to machines. Well, guess what? In the 2020s, people are getting worried about that again with the onset of AI.
And even with, like, checkout lanes in your local Walmart or a Stop and Shop. I went in there, Walmart, last night. There was, like, three people in the whole store. Because right. Everything else is self. You get your own cart, you put yourself in, you go self-checkout. They're probably the one guy is standing there just in case like you mess up the scanning, like everyone does, just to scan you in and keep you going. But like even like on a busy like Saturday at a Stop and Shop, like you see like minimal crews because you don't need, you know, all 10, 12 lanes. You have one or two lanes open and the rest are self-checkout.
Stop and Shop, they have that weird robot thing.
Yeah, the weird robot. Me.
Marty, I think it's
named. I haven't seen him do one actual thing but just follow people around.
It, like, the whole point of him is he's supposed to, like, drive around the store, and if there's, like, a mess, he, like, calls people over to clean it up.
Well, I mean, in the 1920s, they introduced consumer culture, right? So you used to, be, you know, you used to go into, like, the general store in your neighborhood, and then, you know, by the end of the decade in the 1920s, they started mass consumption by using radio and television to get people to buy from, you know, the big box store, and you know, households were buying from the same goods from the same markets, you know. In the 2020s, we're in consumer culture where now we're moving from the big box stores to what? To online commerce, right? 1920s, transportation. You own the car thanks to the assembly line and the Model T. Now in the 2020s, transportation, you know, like you see them doing another thing like space travel or like SpaceX, you know, or Amazon Blue Origin or all these crazy things that these rich guys are coming up with. I mean, so you see like all these travel expansions taking place. In the 1920s, there was the rise of film. In the 2020s, here's where it takes the opposite. It's the demise of film, you know. So in the 1920s, you saw people starting to get more and more involved with going to, like, the theater. Now we see, like, the death of the cinema, right? Like, when was the last time, you know, I'm going to watch a movie tomorrow night. You know, I thought it was going to be difficult, but, like, you know, it's kind of easy. It was kind of easy to get a seat, you know, because now everybody's watching everything on online streaming services, right? Another comparison, 1920s was the birth of feminism. 2020s, definitely still feminism running strong.
Even a little different,
not
very
the same
different,
way,
but
though. It's like now feminism is being used just for women can get what they want when they want it, where originally it was like, hey, we just want to work.
You want to vote? You want to work, please? Can we open our own bank accounts? That's what feminism used to be.
Well, In this article, it talks about how feminism has taken on its new fight where gender equality is moving more towards that gender fluidity. And, like, you know, 1920s, you saw the race wars and the cultural battles. 2020s, we've definitely seen the same issues arise. Music in the 1920s, we see we saw that it was, you know, kind of taking a change and attracting youth. It was an emotional or spiritual impulse that civilized America had repressed. And then in the 2020s, as a liberating, youth-oriented musical force, jazz was eventually supplanted by rock. It's unlikely to see another form of pop music culture. And it just goes on to talk about how even big pop music stars aren't really known by everyone, but it's taken on this big thing again in the 20s. Fashion in the 20s started to kind of get, like, crazy. I guess they got rid of the new corset freestyles. Thank God. I'm sure Sierra's happy that the corsets
died. They're bringing corsets back now. Corsets are, like, they're kind of like a staple in fashion now, especially with more, like, kind of the alternative scene. Mm. And I was like, why would you do that to yourself?
It's the alternative.
I'm just
look.
Saying, when I was trying on wedding dresses, some of them had corset tops. They were not very fun.
I'm gonna tell you, fashion for me is very, I'm not up with it. Nancy kind of, she's my fashionista. She's just, you know, she's like,
well,
yeah.
1920s, that's when, like, the flapper dresses started happening. So the dresses with all, like, the strings that you could, like, shake.
Yeah, because you can, that's, like, more, like, expression through fashion. Like, yeah. They wanted to wear what they wanted,
like,
to.
Like the feathers and the hair.
Well, that's what this is. So in this article, it says the 20s, particularly the late 20s, were the age of the flapper, a label for women who sported the new corset-free styles. The idea of the liberated new woman was a reflection of their renewed economic power during the war and political power after the passage of the 19th Amendment, granting women the right to vote.
We can vote, no more corsets.
No more corsets. That's the first thing they voted on. And then, please.
And then as for men, formal attire became less of a necessity and sportswear became popular. So they're like, women got rid of the corsets. We're going to stop dressing up in three-piece suits every day.
I mean,
day.
You see that now because even, a little further back than the 20s, but, they went from the full suit and tie to, just like slacks and a dress shirt, sometimes not even tucked in. And that's good enough to go into the workplace. Where 10 years ago, if you didn't show up an interview with, your nicest suit, you're not getting the job.
Yeah.
Well, then you see the 2020s fashion has definitely changed. I mean, you see just people, completely. It's like you walk into a place now and it's like, you said jacket only, and now people are just pretty much dressing in whatever they want, but. Fashion has definitely taken a change yet again in the 2020s, making its own thing. Celebrities in the 20s versus celebrities in 2020s has gotten their thing. So celebrities in the 1920s used to have to actually do something, play a sport like Babe Ruth or be like a famous movie star. In the 2020s, you could be a celebrity by dancing on TikTok or having a YouTube channel.
Influencer. Oh.
You could be a social influencer. It's funny because there's all these similarities. We're so similar to the 1920s, but we're so different.
It's almost like a parallel universe.
Yeah,
it is.
We were pretty much the same, but there's one thing that's making it different.
This is the upgraded version, 100 years later of the 1920s.
Pretty much.
Which is kind of crazy to see because they really say if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat yourself. And it looks like these, even though we're laughing about it, these parallels are very, very similar.
But we're just trying to do it over.
Parallels are paralleling.
They are very, very parallel.
Energy in the 1920s, maturing in towns, we were building grids and trying to extend natural gas and coal. Now that's a bad word around here, right? Science, climate change, well, now we'll beat that. And now they're trying to, so energy in the 2020s, we have all this other stuff. So, I'll put this, it's a good read, under all this, it kind of breaks it down, but it's just like you guys were just saying, so similar, and yet so different. It's just crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. And I can see why Sierra was so excited about the Roaring Twenties discussion, because, it kind of blows your mind. When you really look at it side by side, you kind of start to think to yourself, what is happening? How did this...
Sure, yeah.
And it's kind of like you said, if we don't learn from our past, I don't know. I'm gonna give you guys a second because I'm about to set myself off and.
I mean, it's true because we just kind of proved it a little bit, how things are so parallel to what's going on. And it's because people, especially this day and age, people don't want to learn. People don't want to know about history. I don't know if I mentioned on here, but there was an article I was reading that kids in school, high schoolers, by the way, don't want to learn about World War II because it's triggering. Well, if you don't want to learn about, because, there's a lot of death, there's a lot of horrible things that went on, so they don't want to hear about it because it's triggering. But if you don't learn about, the stock market crashes of the 1920s or the race wars of the 1920s or how government worked in the 1920s, it's going to happen in 2020. And then you're going to be like, oh, well, I didn't see this coming. Well, you could have because the writing, the writing's on the wall.
Go to a history class. You go to a history seen class. It coming.
Just learn what's going on or what happened. And you can kind of not even predict what's going to happen. But when you see similar things, you can be like, well, we tried this before. Let's try something different. It might not come out different, but at least you can say you tried. Yeah.
Something that I've also noticed, reading all the articles about the 20s, both now and then, it's how, in the 1920s, it was kind of the start of, the start of how, outside factors influence common people, how now it's social media and influencers and this and that, except just in the 1920s it was newspapers, magazines.
And I think just like the how our, we have our parallel but a little bit opposite. When you read the newspaper in the 1920s, you're like, oh, they took the time to research this. That must be true. And now it's like you can read a million articles with different opinions on something. It's like, I don't know what's true anymore.
So if we go like talking about the Great Depression a little bit. So that whole thing started with a like journal publication. So it says history.com. And in August 1929, Ladies' Home Journal published an article titled Everybody Ought to Be Rich. In it, businessman John J. Raskob told Americans that if they invested $15 in the stock market every month in 20 years, they could have $80,000, which is a little over $1 million today. Raskob insisted that almost anyone who is employed can do that if he tries.
You know what that reminds me of? Almost exactly, if you didn't say it was from the 1920s, crypto.
Mm. Literally.
Oh, crypto's easy. Just put some money into it, you wait, and you sell it. Yeah. Sure, some people got rich, but look how many people are down bad because they lost all their money in crypto and NFTs.
Yeah, but there were also these people who were like, according to this article, low-wage jobs paid an average of $25 a week for men and $18 for women. So if low-wage workers had followed Raskob's advice, they would have been placing most of a week's earnings in the stock market every month, just for it to crash a few months later.
Well, it's like what was it? It was Coca-Cola. I think it's like if you invested like if you bought one penny stock back when Coca-Cola went public, and if you had that original stock today, you'd be like a multi millionaire. Like, listen, I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how some of the, I mean, you're either going to make it or you weren't. I mean, because back then, you know, it was a different time. People, all the things were popping off. I mean, you had the charlatans and you had like the actual legitimate, you know.
I would have died in the 1920s.
Same.
Insulin wasn't made until like 1929.
People aren't living to be, what I say, 54? So
I definitely would have been like goner.
No, I'm pretty sure they didn't even make vitamins until the 1920s.
I know. We were all goners.
I mean, I'm just saying, what did they have to lose? You know, like you were barely middle-aged at that point. I mean, unlike now where people are living well into their 80s and 90s, which is why we find ourselves in that situation we're on with Social Security and whatnot. But
I feel like the stock market was kind of just like a ploy, because like no way everyone was like, if you put $15 every month, you'll have 80,000 by the end of the year. You'll be dead by then. You're not getting your money.
That's what they were hoping. I mean, that's how like the stock market works now, or like the quick get rich quick schemes, right? The day traders.
I don't even know how the stock market works.
Some people can day trade and make money. Some people who don't have the money to play with try to day trade and become broke.
Like, how do you get your money?
You have to sell your stocks. You buy your stock. So you put your money into your portfolio and you buy stock at a certain price.
You like sell it back to the company?
Oh, yeah. So when your stock hits a certain price, you sell it.
And so if I have like $1 million stock, I don't know if that's how that works. No. And I sell it back to their company, they'll give me $1 million.
Well, yeah. So let's do this on a very simple way, right? So let's say you have $100 in your pocket, and you put it into your your stock portfolio. So now your portfolio has $100, and you go and you buy a stock that's worth $1 a share, and you have $100. So you buy 100 shares of this $1 stock, which means you have $100 of that stock, right? And then let's say that stock goes up from $1 a share to $10 a share, right?
Rigged.
You're making money now.
So now once it goes up to $10 a share, your portfolio goes from being worth $100 to what?
$10,000.
Right. So then you sell that stock and you made a profit. You could sell it for what you have it, what it's worth, and now you have that's your profit on that stock. The problem is a lot of people, you know, you have to know how to identify the stock that you're buying.
But do you ever get your, like, do you ever just get the money, or do you have to keep buying stocks?
No, if you want to cash out, after you sell your stocks, you could choose to cash out or you could choose to reinvest it into other stocks. But here's the thing. When you cash out, if you're making profit, you're going to have to pay taxes on that profit. So, a lot of people keep their money in the market. And then there's a whole, and then it gets a lot more complicated from there. Right? That's where you make decisions on how you're gonna, you know, how you're gonna invest your money and where your money's gonna go into. But the most simplistic version is you buy your stock and then you sell it when you make money on it. Now, on the flip side, you buy a stock and it loses money, then you're losing money on your stock. So that means you're not gonna make your money back, you know. And that's and what happens is you have to know when to buy, when to sell. And that's the trick to it all. Because if it was easy for everybody to make a bunch of money on the stock market, everybody would be millionaires.
They say it's pretty easy to predict the market, but it's really not.
Clearly. It's crashed like 4 times. Mm-hmm. Wasn't there like a big crash in like 2008?
That's a story for a whole other episode. We should actually talk about that at some point.
There was a lot of stuff going on. That was the banks were playing around too much.
We have the roaring 20s. We can have the roaring 2000s.
The 2000s was a wild wasteland.
So we find ourselves in a situation now where we're approaching almost the midway point of this decade. The question now becomes where does the second half of this decade land us?
I mean, the good thing in these like 3 years, we've done all the crazy stuff pretty much almost of the whole 1920s. So, yeah, so we can just feel accomplished and kind of shift. I think we'll be good.
Nothing says accomplishment like killer wasps.
Killer wasps. We've had the stock market crash. We've had housing crash.
We've had disease.
We've had diseases.
Didn't we have like monkeypox or something like
monkeypox, that? That was a thing. That wasn't 2020. That was like the end of last year, wasn't it?
It was soon. It was close.
I thought it was 20. I think it's 22. I don't know. Wild.
I had to stop paying attention to that stuff. I was losing track.
Wild.
Yeah, so we've crammed 10 years of the 1920s into until 2.5, well, 3.5 years.
Hopefully it just stops.
So we have to make it stop. We have to actively be like, hey, we're going to repeat this and be worse unless we do something.
Hey, we're good.
I think
you know that? Enough. Neither of you are on TikTok.
Nope.
You might have seen it on like Reels or something. It's like, it's too much slices. Have you ever seen that?
Yes, I have seen that. I've seen that on Instagram.
They're like talking about like, it's like this guy like asking for a piece of pie and they just keep giving him pie. And yeah. He's like, it's enough slices. That's all I can.
Yeah, we've had enough slices already. It's only 2023.
I'm full. I'm good.
So, I suppose we're going to have to stay tuned to see how the rest of this decade goes. I think a lot of it's going to be pivotal on, and I don't want to bring it, this is not the discussion of the day, but I mean, it's really going to be pivotal on this next election. We're going to have to see.
I hope it's just someone new. Someone funky fresh.
Now, sometimes funky fresh isn't.
Maybe a woman.
Isn't good. Oh, we'll see.
Here's what I know. I know that times can be scary. I know that a lot of people, just like in the 1920s, I mean, yeah, look, you know, we navigate things day by day, and we kind of go a little bit at a time. But we hold on to a lot of hope. The hope that we hold on to comes from not what this world has to offer, but it does come from the Creator, which is our Heavenly Father, and you know, God gives us a lot of promises, and the promise he has is that if we trust in him, you know, we don't have to worry about the uncertainty of the next half of these roaring 20s. I love what it says in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. It says, this truth gives them confidence that they will have eternal life, which God, who does not die, promised them before the world began. The truth that we're talking about here is the truth of salvation that comes through the blood that was shed on Calvary through Jesus Christ. We have a God who loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us, which means it doesn't matter if we end up kind of like the first set of 20s. I'd be curious to see how the 1820s ended, to be honest.
I mean, I was thinking like every like 99 of or 9 of a year, something crazy always happens. Like, I was like thinking back. Like 2009 was like right after the housing crash and like war. 1990, 1999, you good? It's not 2029 yet. You can't go out on us.
We're losing Sierra here.
In 1999, it was what the Y2K thing. Like they thought like the computers were all gonna die, and like we'd go to like back to the Stone Age. So it's kind of crazy. Like every nine, something crazy happens. You well, okay? Okay.
You promise? Sheesh.
Now the water gets us too.
Sierra got so excited.
I don't know what happened. I breathed the wrong way and I just died.
Add that to the list.
So bad.
She got so excited about what I was about to talk about that she was like, "Take me, Jesus. Take me now." Oh, Titus 2:11-15 says, "For the grace of God." See, I'm really concerned about you. Titus 2:11-15 says, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward to the hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. You must teach these things and encourage the believers to do them. You have the authority to correct them when necessary, so don't let anyone disregard what you say." This is to the church. This is to my family in Christ. Look, we all have people in our lives who worry. And as we go through these times where we're around our friends, our family, our loved ones, as we talk about these parallels, I mean, and it's fun to talk about. I mean, I don't know about you, but I love to look at history and see how, as crazy as it may be, it just somehow continues to repeat itself. I mean, you would think that we would learn and know better, but we just don't, because apparently we like to just do the same thing over and we like to live by the definition of insanity, right? To continue to do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And as we're in this world, you know, we have friends and we have family members who are probably going through these times alongside us, and they don't have the hope that comes through that promise that Jesus gave us. They don't have that hope that comes through that promise of salvation that we were given through the blood that was shed on Calvary. It's our job. It's our job, like it says in Matthew 28, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's our job to share with them that even though there's uncertainty in their lives, that we have a solution. No matter how this turns out, no matter what happens in this race that we're trying to finish, all we can do is provide hope, not because of our own strength, but the hope that comes through Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a little all we have to offer. What's going to happen in the rest of this decade? I don't know. Maybe when we get to, I don't know, we're at episode 20 now. So, I mean, maybe when we get to episode, like, 300, we can we can do a recap. Although, episode 300, that'll be cool to see. All I can tell you is that God loves us, and he sent his son to die for us. And the purpose of this broadcast, aside from having fun when we talk about these crazy topics and bring parallels about century apart years and events, is to share that there's hope and that there's an anchor for our soul. Like it says in Hebrews chapter 6, it tells us, and it says it so perfectly, that this hope, in verse 19, it says, "This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek." God's promises bring hope. You may find yourself in a hopeless situation, but that's not the God we serve. We don't serve a God that brings hopelessness. We serve a God that is victorious, a God of hope. So I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know that my eternity is secure because I serve a God that is just so good. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, I think what you're saying is pretty spot on. Like, we do talk about, you know, these crazy things, and we come on pretty much every week and, you know, talk about, you know, the insanity that is going on. But, you know, knowing that we have the promise of, you know, eternal life no matter what happens on earth, you know, kind of trumps all this craziness and all this anxiety that it can bring and all the worry and doubt that, you know, the world loves to hand to you on a silver platter. But knowing that through Jesus Christ that we have a way to salvation, a way above all this is really what we should hang on to above all this crazy stuff about COVID and things that's been happening since 2020 or early 2019. And instead of worrying about what's going to happen from now into who knows when. So that's kind of what I like to hold on to.
What you got for us, Sierra? Any closing thoughts before we go into our...
I'm just riding the wave, man.
Just riding the wave. She's just trying to survive.
Trying to recover.
I still feel it in, like... you know, like how you can, like, feel it right here, like, in your, like, heart? It's like, I feel it still, like, hurt. Yeah, just riding, seeing what happens.
Well,
If we die, we die.
The Roaring Twenties, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches us. So when you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're just coming along here for the ride. I don't know if you find yourself in the North Providence area. I see Sierra already making the face. She's getting ready for her part. I don't know if you find yourself in the North Providence area here in Rhode Island. But if you do find yourself around here and you want to come worship with us at our home church, Saving Grace, in North Providence, Rhode Island, we'd love for you to come. Every Sunday morning, we're there at 10:30 in the morning on 1 Volturno Street, North Providence, Rhode Island.
So early, right?
Yeah, well, it's not really that early. I mean, for your generation, maybe. Your generation likes to get up at like 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Excuse me, I'm up at like 7 every day.
But that's different because now you're a mom.
I have a child and he's up at 7
every day. But pre-mom, Sierra, would have loved to get up at like 1:30, 2 o'clock. No?
Facts, especially because I like my last 2 years of high school were COVID times. I used to like roll over, put on Zoom.
You got to make your schedule.
Roll back.
But if you are in the North Providence, Rhode Island area, we'd love to have you join us at Saving Grace Church, 1 Volturno Street, North Providence, Rhode Island, at 10:30 a.m. for our worship service. If you can't join us in person, you can follow us on our social media pages. Where can they find us, Sierra?
You can go on our Facebook, which I always forget the name of.
Facebook and on YouTube at Saving RI. At Saving RI. Why? Because
our live stream.
They took our handle, man. We couldn't get the handle that we wanted, so we figured we're trying to save Rhode Island, so we're Saving RI. Or you could check out our website, www.savinggrace.church. www.savinggrace.church, and we'll have links to our stuff there. You can check out who we are on that website as well. You want to come early for some Bible study, you can check us out at 9:30 a.m., same location, for our Bible workshop.
Even earlier.
You want to come for prayer? Come join us for prayer at 9 a.m.
Even earlier.
Sierra's like, I'm not sleeping in on a
You're
Sunday.
You're not selling it.
But we'd love to have you visit us. But hey, if you can't come in person, definitely check us out online for our live stream. If you go on our YouTube channel, we do have our video library. You can check out our services there as well. But hey, maybe you're somebody who wants to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Reach out to us. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to help you accept the Lord Jesus into your life. And if you don't live around here, we would love to connect you with a good Bible-following church that can help you start on your journey to get to know who Jesus Christ is as your personal Lord and Savior. So definitely reach out. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to set you up with a Bible and get you started on your journey. Aside from that, we hope you enjoyed our Roaring Twenties episode. I know I had some fun with some of this pop trivia here that we had from there. Hopefully we didn't freak anybody out too much with the similarities. Maybe we'll go back to the 1820s at some point and see
what's going on there. I feel it's worse.
Going there.
It's like, you died.
That episode. That episode is going to trigger Will.
Just drilling people's heads for headaches is going to be nuts.
Yeah, so that's it, y'all. We hope you guys tune in next week as we come back for another episode at noon. Check out our behind-the-scenes episode at 3 p.m., and we'll catch you next time. God bless.
Bye. Peace.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. New episodes drop every Friday at noon. Have a question about our faith or the insane times we live in? Go to our website, www.temporaryinsanitypodcast.com, and record a voice message. It may end up on our show. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and our YouTube channel at Temporary Insanity Podcast.